We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP from Eagles training camp. Twitter poll question of the day brought to you by the casino at Delaware Park. You can make a day of it at Delaware Park. Enjoy daily fee, golf, lunch, and sports wagering. DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, whose future do you believe in more, A, Nick Sirianni, or B, Jalen Hurts? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We had John Heyman on, Odyssey Insider for Baseball, a couple days ago, and he said something about the Phils approaching the trade deadline that kind of surprised me. What it was, we'll play that audio coming up shortly here in the next couple of minutes. Also, Elliot Shure Parks to join us later this segment for his insights and observations from Eagles training camp today. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to, and then Ray Dittinger, usually with us at 12:45. Ray will be with us today at 1 o'clock. All right, to the phones we go with Enzo in Westchester. What's up, Enzo? Enzo, all right, not there, not ready to roll. We go to Benjamin in Downingtown. Yo, Benjamin.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Benjamin.
Hey, first thoughts were, who brings a baby to a press conference?
I didn't hear that. Did you hear that? Oh, yeah. Well, there was, it wasn't a baby. At one point I saw like a toddler or something, but no one was crying or anything, right? I mean, I was there. I didn't hear anyone
crying. At one point in time, Sirianni had to stop and turned and said, hey, kid, what's up? Or something along that line.
Well, at one point I was walking down. Maybe I missed that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you missed that part. But towards the beginning of the press conference, though, I was happy to hear Sirianni talk about the fact that Jalen Hurts has not necessarily won, but he's shown and proven that he's running with the ones right now.
Well, the word he said was earned. He said Hurts has earned the right to run with the ones.
By working hard, I guess, in the off-season program.
Now, some would say
there wasn't much of an off-season program, by the way. I mean, that's we're talking about lifting and running with the team strength and conditioning staff. And then the meetings that they held to, it sort of introduced the guys to the new offensive and defensive systems.
He also said he wants him to grab the reins. So to me, it sounds like that he wants Jalen to be his starting quarterback. He just has to put that work in. And I'm hoping all this chatter that's on the outside is putting somewhat of a chip on his shoulder, like a Brady-esque chip. And it will bring it out on the field than what we've seen so far.
That statement, he wants him to grab the reins, there's a lot in that, because that does suggest that he has not grabbed them. It does suggest that there is some doubt that he will grab them. If this were Aaron Rodgers, they wouldn't be saying, we want him to, take advantage of this opportunity. He would just be that guy. Jalen Hurts, he's got a lot to learn and a lot to earn, and I think the team has doubts.
For all intents and purposes, though, he is a rookie quarterback this year. I mean, yes, it's not his rookie season, but he's basically a first year, quote unquote, starting quarterback.
Yep.
So there's got to be a little bit of a leniency, especially what you saw today. He might have had a little bit of butterflies in him being the very first time that he's going out with the one on day one, and there's a lot to be expected of him. If he settles down and starts to get into the groove and they're attacking him as far as his performance on the field and his the way he plants his feet, like he was saying, and all that, then I will be very, very happy when the season starts.
All right, Benjamin, give me someone fashionable. You got a chance to win this four-pack of tickets, Reading, Flight, and Phils. Who's fashionable?
All right, when this man was in the room, he was always the best dressed, and that was Obama.
Obama. Yeah, Obama's a well-dressed guy. But, I mean, I would expect almost any president to be well-dressed. It's hard to hard to not be well-dressed if you're the pres. Let's talk to Bryce in Wilmington. What's up, Bryce?
Yo, guys. How you doing?
Although, let me just say this. Jimmy Carter was not the most fashionable president. All right, Bryce, go ahead. I'm fine, man.
Hey, sorry. Yeah, the so what I really wanted to touch on today a little bit was you guys got into it a little bit yesterday, but that whole Simone Biles thing that's going on, it's like a tough topic to talk about because, like, obviously you want people to be, like, in a good headspace, but it's like I just hate how it's kind of getting glorified as, like, she's kind of, like, being this really brave person. But, like, could you imagine, like, Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, like, you guys, like, Game 7 NBA Finals, and LeBron James, like, hey, I need to take a day off, man. I can't do it.
Bryce, I totally agree. I totally agree with you. It is a sensitive topic. We don't really know what's going on, so that leads to difficulty discussing it in depth. But I'll use a Philly example. LeBron's a good example, but I'll use a Philly example. You know, all the heat Donovan took from the 04 Super Bowl, and it was massive, the three turnovers, ultimately the loss, the slow drive late in the fourth quarter. But imagine, and some of that, much of that heat was deserved. I mean, Donovan came up small in a big spot. He also did a lot of good things. He passed for about 350 yards and three touchdowns. But imagine, John, as his teammate, if Donovan, after the first quarter of the Super Bowl, said, I'm taking myself out of the game. I'm not feeling it today. Right. Mindfulness. I've got to remove myself from the game for my own mental health, my own mental state.
Right.
Now, and here's my thing, Bryce. And again, I readily admit I don't know all the facts. None of us do, other than Simone Biles and I guess people around her. But, you know, if Simone Biles was overcome with, let's say, a panic attack, anxiety of such extreme nature that she was physically unable to actually do it. I had two panic attacks in my life, and I can honestly tell you, during those moments, there's no way I could have played a game. I was in an altered state. If you're in that state, that's dangerous, and you shouldn't play in the game. But if it is, and this is my guess, and I'll say again, just a guess, if it is, I'm just not feeling good today, I don't feel like I'm on top of my game, I'm having a bad day, that's a weak reason for removing yourself. And I think a lot of people in society have lowered the bar of what is acceptable to remove yourself because of.
That's annoying, where, like, people are like I'm on Instagram and all these people, like, resharing stuff, like, saying, oh, she's so brave. Like, I don't think I understand taking yourself out, but that's not, like, I wouldn't put that in the brave category. And I've been saying this for such a long time. It's exactly what you said yesterday. Like, 10, 15, 20 years from now, the people who are mentally tough and can get through that stuff, those are the people that are going to rise above everybody else.
No doubt. Bryce, give me who's fashionable.
I'm going to go with Gianni Versace.
Versace.
Whoa, yeah.
That's a big answer.
It's a haymaker right there.
Yes, it is.
Chalk.
You know, John, the Simone Biles thing, I mean, I'm sure your thoughts similar to yesterday. You and I are pretty aligned on this. I mean, there are justified reasons to pull out.
I just wish that I knew more, and we probably won't ever know enough to really speak on this in an educated way.
Yep.
I watched it yesterday, you know, like it was, you know, after the fact, you know, when because of the delay. And I was amazed at the resiliency of her teammates, where, you know, there was a young lady who was, she wasn't expecting to compete in that event, and she was thrust into action. She had like 30 seconds to go warm up. Like, hey, Simone's not doing it. You weren't expecting to compete here. Put together a routine real quick in your head. It just seemed like, man, she really put her teammates in a rough spot. I know that that's certainly not her intention. There has to be a lot more at work that I don't even understand, so I feel uncomfortable.
But you agree with me, a lot of people have lowered the standards of what's acceptable to.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. All right, let's get to something. John Heyman said, Phillies, the trade deadline, it's in 2 days. They're 3.5 games out. I still think the Phillies shouldn't be buyers. It kind of surprised me a bit when we had Heyman on the show 2 days ago, how emphatic he was about his belief the Phillies will, in fact, be buyers. Listen to this. This is Heyman.
Because they are.
Well,
they are. We just learned that yesterday.
But they shouldn't
tried
be.
To get.
But they shouldn't be. That's okay.
Well,
let's,
they are.
All right, let's listen to Heyman. This is with us 2 days ago.
Are the Phillies more likely to buy, to sell, or to hold? Stand pat. They're four back with 4 days to go into the trade deadline. Buy, sell, or hold? Oh. What's the most likely path?
Well, thank you for the easy one. They're going to buy. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, Dave Dombrowski was brought in here to win. He wasn't brought in here to rebuild. I understand they're around 500. It seems like they're always around 500, but there's an opportunity for them. They're only four games back. The Mets haven't really gotten hot. You know, DeGrom is out at the moment. We don't know when he's coming back. They've got other pitchers out. And, you know, they're one of those few teams on the outside looking in right now that's got a shot, and they're going to go for it. You know, I give them credit for spending. I know they're always around 500 within a game or two, it seems like, over the last few years, but they're bound and determined to change that. So they will go for it. They will go for some relief. They're looking at starters, looking at center field, and the effort will be there. I'll just say that.
That's, again,
that's great.
2 days ago, John.
That's why
Heyman.
Dave Dombrowski's here.
But it's the wrong course of action. I'm telling you,
I'd
John.
I'd rather have it this way than what you're saying. So you want to nurture Spencer Howard and keep him, and he's going to be your guy that you're going to count on? Come on.
You try to paint me as the pro Spencer Howard guy.
You love him.
Yeah. He's my favorite. He's Steve Carlton, the Spencer Howard. You know, he's Walter Johnson. He's Roger Clemens.
We know that the farm system isn't good. It's not going to get good by holding on to whatever little talent we have.
All right.
I want the here and now.
All right, 215-592-9494 if we're to react to all of this. Ray Dininger with us starting the 1 o'clock hour. Let's also welcome in our next guest. He does a great job covering the Eagles for us here at WIP. Follow all of his work, 94WIP.com/GoBirds. And we strongly encourage you to do that for the next 6 months, because Elliot's going to have articles up all the time about what he sees with the Eagles. And Elliot Shore Parks joins us right now. Elliot, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Good to see you here at training camp with me. You made a guest appearance at the press conference.
Yep.
It's good to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Kind of, I don't know, pushy in there. It sounded like the floor of the stock exchange.
Well,
from where it is. I was listening.
Yeah, it's how it is over there. Yeah. Joe did well. I was in the front row. I heard his voice. I turned back. I was like, is that the hammer back there?
You did okay. Let's not get carried away. You did okay.
I tried about 8 times to get in there before
it's
I finally
tough.
Got.
Yeah, it's tough. It was, that's why I sit in the front row.
Yeah, and they didn't have a microphone. Sometimes they have a microphone. Sometimes you don't. They didn't have a microphone. It is what it is. All right, Elliot, there's a lot to break down from today's practice. Let's start with this. Your biggest takeaway, the thing that you observed that struck you the most from practice today, what was it?
Jalen Hurts didn't have a great day. And I've been high on Hurts, as you've heard this offseason. I do think he'll have a good season, but I have to be honest. And what I saw today from Jalen Hurts was not impressive.
You got the stat sheet right in front
of
you.
Yeah, so I wrote down every play that he was in for, and I have him down as 5 of 16 with 2 touchdowns and an interception. Now, the interception was kind of a completion to Kenny Gainwell at the 1 yard line, and I believe it was Josiah Scott, the new cornerback they traded for from Jacksonville, ripped it out of his hands, and it became an interception. But overall, I didn't think Hurts had a great practice. I thought his accuracy was kind of off. I thought his decision making was a little riskier than we saw last year. The offense still moved somewhat. He had a touchdown to Devontae Smith. He had a touchdown to Miles Sanders. He ran the ball a few times, but overall, it was not the dominant first practice, I guess, you would have hoped to see from the Eagles starting quarterback.
And this is and these are the basics. This is day one of the installation.
Well, where I would disagree with you slightly on that is I did think, and this was my second takeaway, day one, at least I've covered, this is my 9th training camp now. This is the most physical, competitive first day of practice I can remember. I thought the fact they did red zone on the first day. Red zone is always one of the most competitive parts of these practices. It was their first team drill. Their first team drill was 11-on-11 red zone. Like, that is where it is always the most competitive. So all offseason, we heard Sirianni talk about competition. And, you know, at points, let's be honest, he was somewhat mocked for it. I thought he really backed it up today. It was an extremely competitive practice. So that's why I agree with you, John, that you know, overall, you shouldn't see your quarterback go 5 of 16 in training camp, right? There's checkdowns and those type of things, but
they're not even hitting. I mean, there's not even like a pass rush coming after him.
Yeah, the quarterback's in a red jersey, so no one touches
him. Well, they did get after him today, somewhat. Fletcher Cox had a good practice. Brandon Graham got in his face one time, but
Josh Sweat starting on the defensive line was a big deal.
Yeah, look, there were the two battles we've kind of been talking about, were left tackle and defensive end with Josh Sweat and Barnett. And Josh Sweat got the first team reps, and it was pretty consistent. And let's be honest, he's earned those reps, right? He had a better year last year, in my opinion.
You think he's a better player?
I do think he's a better player. Yeah, I do. I mean, look, he's done way more with the opportunities he's been given than Derek Barnett has done with the opportunities that he's been given. Barnett has been forced out there. Sweat has earned his way out there.
And left tackle pretty split today between Mailot and Dillard?
Yeah, so Dillard started out there today at left tackle.
I have a problem with that. How did he earn that? By paying attention in meetings?
It's a good question.
He wasn't even on the field last year. Like, right. this is my worst nightmare come true.
Mm-hmm.
They told us after practice, Jalen Hurts earned the right to be with the starters because of his offseason investment.
Right.
You know, Josh Sweat, earned the right to be out there with the ones because he played well last year. I agree with that. What did Andre Dillard do in a season where he didn't play at all? Jordan Mailata did everything they asked of him last year, mm-hmm. played well, and now he's the backup?
Can I answer that question?
You know what he did?
I'm going to answer that
question. He got drafted in the 7th round. That's what he did.
Exactly what I was going to say is Andre Dillard was a better player 2 years ago coming out of college and Jordan Mailata not playing football.
So I agree that we have seen with this team that draft picks at times, and I'm sure it's like this on a lot of teams, they get preferential treatment in terms of snaps. Now, the one pushback I would have slightly to that is I think if there's any position group where you're going to know that the position coach is picking who plays, it's offensive line because of Jeff Stoutland. I think that he has that type of voice within the organization. He is a veteran coach. I agree Mailata should have been out there with the first team today. He should have been out there for the first snap. But overall, it was 50-50. Like, there was a lot of times, I mean, I watched every play, where I would look at the left tackle spot and it was Mailata. So he certainly got a lot of reps today.
What about who got the most run and who looked the best? Obviously, Devontae Smith's going to be a starting wide receiver, but opposite him, you've got Rager, you've got Folgum, or Rager in the slot, I guess, also at times. You know, if you got Hightower, you got Quez Watkins. How did that sort itself out?
Well, they were missing a lot of guys today at receiver. Rager did some individual work, but he's day-to-day with a lower body injury, and he didn't do any team reps. So he wasn't out there for any of the team reps. Greg Ward wasn't here today.
So lower body injury from what?
I guess working out. I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, he must have obviously didn't get it today. So, he had the lower body injury. Greg Ward wasn't out there. Quez Watkins wasn't out there. So when they did line up with multiple receivers, it was Devontae Smith. He's clearly the number one receiver on this team. He was always on the outside. I didn't count my targets yet, but it looks like he had the most targets among the receivers, at least along the first team. There was one red zone drill where 3 plays in a row, Jalen Hurts targeted Devontae Smith, and the third time he got him for a touchdown. So Devontae was a big part of the offense today. Opposite Devontae Smith was Travis Folgum. I think they probably led the team in snaps today at receiver among the starters. So Folgum got a lot of snaps, and then everyone's favorite, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, was in there at a slot with the first team. Now, I think that's because Rager wasn't there, Ward wasn't there. I don't think that's how they'll line up.
Yeah,
And he is honestly a veteran amongst this group, right? This is his third year, and they have a lot of young players. So, but yeah, the majority of the receivers were Smith, Folgum, and then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on the inside.
Who won't be there when it really counts?
What?
I don't know about that.
Well, Ward is going to play.
We just said Dillard might start because he's a draft pick.
It's possible Arcega-Whiteside makes the team. What I'm saying is I don't think he's going to play much.
I just wouldn't rule it out is all I'm saying.
Well, I didn't think Andre Dillard was going to be starting with the ones today either. Hey, so aside from starting the practice in the red zone, which I agree is very cool, what are the major differences between a Doug run practice and a Nick run practice?
So after only seeing one practice for Nick Sirianni, I do think it's the physicality. I mean, they didn't have pads on today. I don't think they're even allowed to put pads on until next week per the CBA. But they were physical out there. There was one play where Tyree Jackson, former quarterback who's trying to make the team as a tight end, was one of the best players out there today, in my opinion. He had
number 80?
Number 80, yeah.
He's gigantic. He's
huge. He is huge.
I can't believe he played quarterback. Yeah,
I didn't realize he played quarterback. He's a giant.
Yeah, he honestly might be their best athlete at the position. He was incredibly impressive today. There was one play where he caught it over the middle, ran, and he just absolutely bulldozed a linebacker. I think it was Davion Taylor. It was a little hard to see because, honestly, he got knocked over so quick. But that was one of my takeaways between today and Doug is – Doug's camps, I thought, always got off to a little bit of a slow start. Normally, the first day was a 10-10-10, which is, as you know, Richie, it's just kind of scripted, light work. Today was extremely
very
physical.
Short. I mean, 10 plays per period. Yeah,
right. It's very quick. I mean, today, I think I had Hurts out there for almost just quick looking, maybe 20, 25 plays. Flacco got a lot of work. No first-team work. But, yeah, Sirianni backed up what he said he was going to do all offseason was he really ran an extremely competitive practice.
Elliot Short Parks with us here. Elliot, a couple of significant designations today the Eagles had. I don't know if you call these transactions or whatnot, but Rodney McLeod placed on the active PUP list and Landon Dickerson placed on the active non-football injury list. Can you just break down what these designations mean?
So the Landon Dickerson one, I believe that's the designation that Sidney Jones got, if I remember correctly, because even though we know they're football injuries, I believe since they happen in college they're not designated as football injuries.
College, yes.
So for Dickerson, that he's where Sidney is, where he was out there today, he didn't do any work. I believe Rodney, based off that designation, and I'll try to get some clarification on this for you. I know he was doing some work with trainers, so that might be the active part of it in terms of him being allowed to do certain things. But he came out to practice, he had a knee brace on, and he's clearly further along than Landon Dickerson is.
Okay. Elliot, good stuff,
wow.
Man.
Thank you.
First game is in about 10 days. Is that today, Tuesday, and they play Wednesday? Is it next Thursday?
I think they play Thursdays normally. So.
Is it 8 days from now, or is it 15 days from now?
It's not 8 days from now.
So 15 days from now, I think they got a game.
I would think so, yeah.
All right. And Sirianni, his presence on the field. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
What stood out to you? Because in the end, look, we talk about scheme and all that, but he's also got to be a commanding officer. What stood out to you with his presence?
So he's definitely a teacher. You can tell the way he goes up to guys. Right. And Doug would do this too, but I would say Sirianni is a little more kind of running up to guys and explaining to him what went wrong right after the play. Doug would, linger and kind of talk to the quarterbacks, but I think Sirianni's a little more into that. And, afterwards, Sirianni, I thought, gave probably his best press conference since he's been hired. And, look, you can't judge a guy off a press conference, but if we're going to rip him for when he's bad, I think he deserves credit for when he had a good one. And it's clear that he really believes in teaching things to players. He talked today about tonight, it seems, he's going to talk to the whole team about ways to watch tape, what you're looking for, how to learn from tape. And I think that, it's something you don't think about, but I think it's an important thing. This is a young roster in a lot of spots. And I was just impressed with how Sirianni ran his first
time. Are you taken aback, though, Elliot? You were pretty clear yesterday when we talked about it. Do you think the Eagles should name Hurts a starter now? Nick Sirianni, not only not prepared to name him now, wasn't ready to say, I want to name a starter in the next week or two. He did the whole, hey, we play in mid-September, and I've got to name a starter before week one in Atlanta. Did that surprise you, and do you think that's the wrong approach?
Yeah, I thought that was weak. I thought he should be honest. Look, we all know that if you name Jalen Hurts the starter today and he's really bad the rest of camp, realistically you're not going to bench him for Joe Flacco. But if you bench him, nobody's going to say why. Like, we're all going to see this, right? Yeah. We're going to see preseason games. We'll be out there at camp every day. So I thought today was a real good chance to throw a ton of support behind Jalen Hurts. And I did think they tried to do that. Howie was out there today with Nick Sirianni. Howie talked highly of Jalen. Nick spoke highly of Jalen. I thought him saying that he earned the first team snap was certainly a tip of the cap. But let's be honest here. This guy's your starting quarterback. He took all the first team reps. Like, nothing is changing between now and Atlanta. Go out and name him the starter. So I was disappointed with that answer.
Also, doesn't, if they really are thinking of trading him for Watson and, three first rounders or two first rounders, doesn't exactly strengthen the Eagles' position of, hey, Houston, you should want this guy.
Right, I agree.
I mean, they're not. I mean, it's like, yeah. Think about it.
At the very least, from a sales standpoint, you would think you would want to say, "Oh yeah, we're all in on this guy to hopefully trick Houston."
All right, Elliot. We look forward, of course, talking to every Tuesday at 11. But frankly, many, many times over the next many days with you here at training camp, Elliot. Great stuff today. Thanks, bud.
Yep, can't wait to talk to you.
All right, coming up, Ray Dittinger with us as well. He joins us next, and all the phone calls. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.